Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is January 18th, 2015, and this is episode 71, a look at the most recent Nintendo Direct. Welcome again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
As you might have guessed from our episode title, this week we're taking a look at the most recent Nintendo Direct. So buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits for your perusal. So let's get to that. Slag, you want to kick us off?
Yes. Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn will be getting a gold saucer area. And if that makes you think of minigames, you're right. It will be including Triple Triad from Final Fantasy VIII and Chocobo Racing from the original gold saucer in Final Fantasy VII. It will use a special gold saucer currency, and it will be pretty awesome. You'll be able to get Triple Triad cards from defeating NPCs, and I don't really know about Chocobo Racing because all I care about is Triple Triad.
Yeah, right? I recently resubbed Final 14, and if I hadn't, then this Triple Triad announcement would make it a certain real thing. So I'm super stoked about that. We also got word here that the long-awaited PSP port of Brandish will finally be coming to North America. In fact, this week, as I recall. So please look forward to that. This is the PSP remake of the PC-98 Dungeon Crawler by Falcom. You might be familiar with the SNES remake it previously had, also under the name Brandish.
Lovely. Comcept and Inti Creates showed off new footage from Mighty No. 9 in their Happy New Year message posted to YouTube. Most notable is that Keiji Inafune-san said that the development of the game is pretty much finished, and that they're working on porting it to the various platforms it will be released on. So please look forward to Mighty No. 9, hopefully soon.
In really exciting news for fellow enthusiasts of Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm Curtain Call, last week, the eShop updated with songs from Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy XIV. Oh, and Xenogears and Saga Frontier!
Hey!
So, you know, Xenogears and Saga Frontier now join, such games as Chrono Trigger and Bravely Default Flying Fairy and Seiken Densetsu in having songs available in Theater Rhythm Curtain Call.
You might just need to get your own SD card for Curtain Call DLC.
And
maybe
not. And for those of you who are fans of the Seiken Densetsu series, there's also a song up from Seiken Densetsu 3.
Lovely.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
All sorts of Square musical enjoyments.
We also have a brief little note here that Five Nights at Freddy's 3 is currently in development.
Oh, spoopy.
We don't yet have a window of release, but if you recall, the first game and second game came out in fairly rapid succession.
Right.
So I wouldn't be entirely surprised if we didn't see this sooner rather than later.
And before we know it, there will be Five Nights at Freddy's 5. Nights at Freddy's. Famous YouTube channel Smosh Games got to play Mario Kart with Miyamoto-san, apparently. And while they were playing, they talked about F-Zero. And this is what Miyamoto-san said about the possibility of another F-Zero game. "I actually made F-Zero first, and then after we made F-Zero, we made Mario Kart. But we see a lot of other designers who are making more traditional racing style of games. So we tried to focus on something that feels a little more gamey. So maybe if we create a new type of controller interface and we find a controller interface that's particularly suited for F-Zero, and then maybe we'll do something with it in the future." And he goes on to say that Imamura-san, who worked on F-Zero as lead designer, is working with him on Star Fox. So, you know, right now they're just busy polishing up Star Fox.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm actually really excited about this because, you know, we sort of follow along with all of the cryptic statements that Nintendo makes about their IP that aren't Mario and Zelda.
Yeah, at least F-Zero's being mentioned.
And, well, that's exactly. I'm very encouraged by the fact that Miyamoto-san is talking about F-Zero and talking specifically about, like, what we're working on right now isn't quite what we would have in mind for that. But to me, that's a good thing because it means it's definitely still a thing they talk about and want to do. So yeah. I think it's encouraging.
Indeed.
We also have news here that in the Japanese release of Devil Survivor 2 Record Breaker, three characters from Durarara will be appearing as guest characters. Though they aren't integrated into the plot per se, they are playable characters with a rather spectacular set of very powerful special abilities. So if you, like myself, plan on importing Devil Survivor 2, that's something to really look forward to.
Wonderful. Harvest Moon, The Lost Valley, in the words of Natsume President and CEO Hiro Maekawa-san, says that the game has exceeded expectations in performing beyond what they expected in North America, and that is due to the strong support of loyal Harvest Moon fans like you.
Irony!
And that they're also going to be continuing this new Harvest Moon series.
At a recent online event celebrating Bravely Second's continued development, we got our first real news about a potential localization. Now, obviously, we have all expected Bravely Second to come over to North America, based on how well Bravely Default did, but we haven't really heard much officially. However, at a recent live stream event courtesy of Dengeki Magazine, where the focus was actually on the new Exorcist class, producer Tomoya Ayano-san actually specifically referenced the game's localization for overseas audiences. Specifically, several characters in the game, even in the Japanese version of the game, will speak English because they are from the moon.
Oh.
And apparently the characters from the moon speak English.
Must be the lunar language.
But he was specifically joking about how they're doing everything they can to make localization translators have as hard a time as possible when they bring it over. So I take that as a very, very good sign.
Yeah. The next playable character in Shovel Knight will be the Plague Knight. Plague Knight will have his own abilities and story, and Mona, who runs the potion minigame, will have a vastly expanded role in his campaign.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see, you know, Shovel Knight did very well, very, very popular, and I'm glad to see that, you know, the content's gonna keep coming.
So I'd say we have some Pokemon fans in our audience, right?
Pika Pika!
So, as I'm sure a lot of Pokemon fans listening to this show are probably aware, at the release of Pokemon X and Pokemon Y, you know, game hackers found the data for a handful of Pokemon that weren't acquirable, I don't know the right way to say that, Pokemon that you couldn't catch through any legitimate means. Well, one of those Pokemon, and the most interesting and mysterious of them, was Hoopa. And now, courtesy of the most recent issue of Korokoro Magazine, we now know that the next Pokemon movie in Japan is going to be titled The Ring Genie Hoopa. The magazine also states that Hoopa will appear in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but at this time they cannot talk about what circumstances that will be.
Wouldn't it
be
a troll if you
with.
Just had to face it in, like, a costume battle, or what are those called, talent shows? I have the game, and I don't even remember what they're called. Beauty contest?
Oh my gosh, right? Anyway, this is one we'll be following very closely, so please stay tuned.
Yeah, I hope that we get that shiny level 70 Rayquaza that's coming out during the World Hobby Fair.
We also have word here that in the upcoming Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 Naruto game, characters from the last Naruto the movie will be appearing, such as the post-second time skip versions of Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura, and Hinata.
Nice.
All we know about a release window for this game is that it's set to release sometime this year in North America for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
So we have the official reveal of the new Tekken 7 fighter. He goes by the name of Shaheen, and you might remember that we had talked about Harada-san, the game director, who had been, you know, showing sketches and stuff and talking about the creation of this character. So he's been officially revealed, and he also addressed the Lucky Chloe controversy, where he had said that he decided to make the character exclusive to Europe and Asia, and that he'd make a muscle-bound skin ahead for U.S. players. It turns out he was being sarcastic. Imagine that.
I just want to say, I think that the Shaheen character looks really cool.
Indeed.
I love that character design, and I'm hoping that it's not, like, an offensive stereotype character in any way. Like,
right.
I know that they had said, specifically, Namco Bandai had specifically said that, you know, they were going to try to do, like, real, like, research on how to do this in a way that isn't offensive and is inclusive. I hope that they met that. I hope people don't jump on them for this, because I think it's a legitimately cool character design.
He's very handsome.
He is very handsome. And I hope people are happy with it.
It does note in this article over on Joystick that Harada-san says that the name and the design of the character were inspired by foreign students from Arabic countries and the Saudi embassy. So it sounds to me like they probably worked directly with some individuals from that culture.
Excellent. We have a new character announced for Killer Instinct. This is going to be the next character of the Killer Instinct Season 2 content. This is named Omen, and he is a spirit of rage, corruption, and shadow energy.
Ooh.
Those of you familiar with the ongoing lore of the Killer Instinct revival may recognize Omen specifically as the spirit that possessed Jago and turned him into Shadow Jago for owners of the Day 1 version of Killer Instinct.
Oh.
Omen should be available for free for subscribers later this month. And obviously at that point we will get a tease for another new character, so we'll be talking about it.
Nice. PlayStation TV has been price dropped. The core unit is down to $80 from a previous price of $100. And the controller included bundle is now $100, which is down from $140.
Excellent.
And this is only so far at major U.S. retailers such as Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, and GameStop. The interesting thing is that the official Sony site still has the device at its regular price. So
interesting.
We'll see if this is a permanent price cut or something.
I have to believe it is. I know remarkably few people that have bought PlayStation TVs.
I know more people who've bought Vitas recently.
Well, exactly. That's exactly my point. So I don't think people are buying these things. Price drop might help. We also have word here that Capcom has moved the release date for DMC Definitive Edition forward by 1 week. Rather than releasing on March 17th, it will now be releasing on March 10th.
Cool, now you have your St. Patrick's Day open for drinking.
In other awesome news, Heroes of the Storm, the Blizzard Dota game, has finished its alpha.
Nice!
The game has now moved into its closed beta period. Players who wish to test and have not already been accepted for the various alphas this game has been in for the last, like, 2 years, I encourage you to sign up. Beta invitations are being sent out regularly. And if you have been involved in any part of the alpha testing of this game, and I know many of our listeners have, you should already be a part of the alpha, or I'm sorry, you should already be part of the beta, and you should be good to go.
Nice.
I have been playing a ton. If you have me on your battle ID or whatever, feel free to send me a message. I'd love to play with you.
I guess this time I should probably install this. I was somehow invited to the alpha because I guess people I was battle ID friends with, something. I look forward to it.
You might have the little ticky box marked on your battle.net ID where it's like, please include me in future beta offers.
Yeah, of course.
So that's probably it.
In news that looks like Captain Spike and lots of you out there, the Phantom Dust Xbox One game will be a reimagining of the original game story, and we may be able to look forward to it this year, but maybe not.
That's very exciting. Yeah, this came from the Inner Circle podcast last week. Microsoft Studios creative director Ken Lobb, who many of you are probably familiar with from the olden days of Rare, he was sort of their face man during the Nintendo 64 days. The Klob weapon in GoldenEye was named after him, K. Lobb. Get it? He basically was talking about Phantom Dust on this podcast. And something that I thought was super interesting as well was that, you know, they're kind of looking at a Killer Instinct-style release. Where, you know, they think maybe people wouldn't want to, you know, go in and spend $60 on this game, but that if they started playing and experiencing the game mechanics, he thinks people would get hooked and be inclined to, you know, buy card packs or buy, you know, small expansions. And I have to say, having played the game, knowing how addictive and fun this game is, I'm inclined to agree with him, and I think that would be a great strategy to get people to take a chance on this game.
And you know, 2015 gaming versus 2005 gaming, very different playing field out there.
Absolutely.
And speaking of a different playing field out there in 2015, WildStar is looking to make a lot of changes, focusing on a multitude of play styles and reducing the grind. Director Mike Donatelli, which almost sounds like Two Ninja Turtles, addressed in his latest address to the community that he's really happy with how well received the game was last year, but that he is looking forward to making a better game experience for everyone, focusing on the feedback that's been given so far.
You know, we've talked here on the show already about how it was clear WildStar was going to have to make some big changes in 2015, and I think what we're seeing here is really the start of that.
Yeah, so let's look forward to that. So please look forward to more WildStar updates as they come out, hopefully.
You said it. And last up on our follow-up slate, we have word here that Drive Club is going to be getting a free set of Japan DLC tracks as part of an update launching later this month.
Pretty.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. So, if you're a fan of Drive Club, please look forward to it.
Are the servers finally stable now?
I hear that they are. I know a lot of people on GAF are super, super into it.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
It seems like the people for whom the game works, it appears to be a pretty pleasant experience.
Lovely.
Before we get on to our news, we have a handful of release date updates
here. Release date buoy. First up, we had just a few days ago, Lufia the Legend Returns on the 3DS Virtual Console. I've seen a couple Game Buoy listeners tweeting screenshots and seeming to have a good time.
Hey, y'all. So that's exciting, the Lufia game series, super good. I'm a big fan. I feel like it's a little bit of, like, an unsung hero in terms of just being a really great experience. Everyone I know who's played it loves it. But for some reason, a lot of people have never heard of Lufia. This, to me, seems like a great opportunity to change that.
So, are you talking about Lugia, the Pokemon?
So once
you're talking about a Lufa?
Once again, Lufia the Legend Returns is now available on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Also for new 3DS and 2DS consoles, directly to you.
We also have word that the American release of Hatsune Miku Project Mirai has been slated for a May 26th release in North America.
Yes, I know what I'm going to spend my summer vacation doing.
And this is actually going to be releasing here as Hatsune Miku Project Mirai DX, which is sort of like an international version of the second Hatsune Miku Project Mirai game. And
yes,
this updated version is also going to be released in Japan 2 days later on May 28th. And then one day later, it will be releasing in the European regions.
Aw, sorry, Europe.
Hey, they're only behind by 3 days.
It's much better than release schedules used to be for a lot of games.
Speaking of underappreciated 16-bit JRPGs, Breath of Fire is going to be coming to the Wii U Virtual Console on February 12th. Breath of Fire is a little bit of a strange situation. This is the first game in Capcom's reasonably well-loved JRPG series, but this first game was actually localized and published by Square Enix in North America.
That's right.
I'm wondering if this is going to be using their translation or not. Either way, great experience. Both Breath of Fire 1 and Breath of Fire 2, which is already available on the Wii U Virtual Console, are still, to this day, 100% worth your time. Great games with some really awesome concepts that, you can't really get anywhere else.
Pillars of Eternity from Obsidian will be launching on March 26th, according to the Kickstarter page.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, looks like it really shaped up nicely.
That's great. You know, I know that myself and I'm sure a lot of our listeners backed this on Kickstarter last year. And I'm really excited that, it's finally going to be finalized and people who didn't back it are going to be able to buy it. And, it looks like a good game.
Yeah, it's about a year later than the original due date, but it looks like the extra time really paid off.
That's something I think that the Kickstarter trend has been really good for. People talk about game delays all the time. They always have, since the 90s. Heck, since the 80s. And now we're really seeing, a lot more transparency into the development cycle, and we're getting, I feel, a really interesting perspective on why game delays happen. And it almost always just comes down to, you know, in order to fulfill these big visions, more often than not, people end up needing a little more time. The only time that doesn't happen is when you have something like IntiCreates and Comcept working together on a Mega Man clone, since between the two of them, they have made like 30 Mega Man games.
Ah, right.
But normally, when you have a team trying to do something new and special, it's going to take a long time. And I feel like people complain about game delays less now than they used to, aside from these games that have been delayed for years and years, like Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami Tensei, or, you know, Last Guardian. But but overall, I feel like people complain less, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Last, but certainly not least, we have word that the first episode of Resident Evil Revelations 2 is now due on February 24th. You may recall it was previously announced to have been releasing a week earlier than that.
Oh.
The new timetable obviously is going to affect all of the games. Everything is launching 1 week later than previously planned. Episode 1 will be on the 24th of February, Episode 2 will be the 3rd of March, Episode 3 will be the 10th of March, and Episode 4 will be the 17th of March.
And then the next day for Xbox and Steam.
Well, yes, yes.
As is consistent with their releases.
Alright, well, we've talked about the follow-ups, so let's get on that news bit tip.
News. 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 Oh my god, news.
Oh my god, news.
Oh my god. Look at these news. They are so great.
So, we're starting off here with the biggest and most newsworthiest announcement of the last week. No, I'm not talking about the lack of a regular size new Nintendo 3DS in North America. I'm talking about three new songs for Rock Band.
What?
Right? On January 14th for PlayStation and January 13th for Xbox, Harmonix put up Arctic Monkeys' hit song Are You Mine, Avenged Sevenfold's song Shepherd of Fire, and Foo Fighters' Something from Nothing to the Rock Band store for Rock Band 3 and Rock Band Blitz. Of course, I call this the biggest news of the week because, you know, the weekly release schedule of DLC that Rock Band had been getting ended in April of 2013. Interestingly, all of these songs came out after that date.
Mm-hmm.
We now have three newer songs for Rock Band, songs new enough that they were not part of anything negotiated back when Rock Band was still a thing for
right.
Harmonix. This is newly licensed songs for Rock Band. And the reason why I'm excited about that is because it's very hard to believe a scenario in which Harmonix spent money to license these songs, especially knowing that the Arctic Monkeys are famously very, very picky and expensive when it comes to licensing. I can't believe that they would do this for two legacy titles. To me, this is the first real, super clear, hard evidence we've seen that Rock Band is coming back.
Yes.
You know, we've heard rumblings, we've heard mentions in interviews.
Yes.
There have been surveys that have not said anything, but have, you know, sort of tiptoed around, like, maybe someday a future Rock Band. This, to me, is like the first sign of, like, straight up, Harmonix is investing in Rock Band in 2015.
Yes.
So, please be excited. Let's be excited. Slaggy, what else
do
we got?
I'm so excited. I'm so scared. A fan translation of Makai Kingdom Portable for PSP is near completion. This was the Nipponichi game that is sometimes known as Phantom Kingdom. And it is being programmed by ChepChep and Ignis00. They are working from the English language version released on the PS2 and adding in their own rewrites.
So the interesting thing about this, you know, is sort of as Nipponichi is inclined to do, Makai Kingdom came out for PlayStation 2 back in like 2005. It was a good translation. It was a good game. But obviously, Nipponichi in 2011 did a PSP port that had new content, new levels, new story chapters. So the fandom for this has always been kind of QQ that this is the very rare Nipponichi game that we never got. Like, Nipponichi brings most of their games over, but this port, by the time it came out, the PSP was dead in North America, like, deader than it ever was. So we never got this port. The fandom's been a little salty about it all this time. And now, you know, some fan translators are stepping in to change that.
Yeah. You can download the patch now, but it's only about 98% complete, so.
We also have news here that in between the last episode of Game Buoy and this current episode, the European Virtual Console for Wii U has added the Game Boy Advance games F-Zero GP Legend and Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones.
Yay!
You know, obviously, it's a big deal anytime anything happens with either of these two franchises. People are always hungry for more Fire Emblem and F-Zero. So, if you're in Europe and you have a Wii U, I would recommend you check these out.
So, at the Sonic event at Tokyo Joypolis, Sega producer Takashi Iizuka-san has announced Sonic Runners for smartphones. Details have not yet been made available, but should be sometime this month. So if you're running around with Sonic, then yeah.
We don't really know what this game is going to be, but many of us are guessing, just based on the name, that it's likely going to be a Sonic-themed endless runner. However, since a Sonic-themed endless runner already exists,
it could be a match 3.
Oh, that would be funny. We also have word here.
Actually, it's a Sonic Drive-In mobile app that pairs up with Lyft to have people go and deliver Sonic drive-through goods to your household.
We also have word here from Dragon Quest series creator Yuji Horii-san that the upcoming celebration of the 30th anniversary of the first Dragon Quest game going to include several game releases.
Oh, wow.
In February, they're going to have Dragon Quest Heroes for PlayStation 3 and 4. And in March, they're going to have Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest for 3DS. In addition to that, they have, quote-unquote, a great deal of projects as they head towards the 30th anniversary. So I'm going to be looking forward to this. Hopefully all y'all out there in Internet Radio Land will be, too.
Isn't there a certain Dragon Quest game that hasn't been ported over here yet?
There are quite a few at this point.
Yeah.
We also have word here that King of Fighters 94 Rebout has been rated by Korea's Game Rating Board, with Sony Computer Entertainment Korea listed as publisher. As tends to be the case with these, this likely means we are going to be getting King of Fighters 94 Rebout as a PS2 Classics release sometime in the near future.
Nice. Sayonara Umihara Kawase, also known as Umi's Odd Odyssey, and I guess that's why they changed the title for Western release, will be getting a Vita version called Sayonara Umihara Kawase Chirari. It will include the original 50 stages from the 3DS gem, along with some new ones. It will include some new enemies, adjusted enemy placements, so it will play a little differently.
And it's also going to have a frame rate locked at 60 frames a second.
So if you haven't picked it up on 3DS, or for some reason you don't own a 3DS, look forward to it on Vita. The Japanese release is April 2015, so we will hopefully get a Western release as well.
We also have word here that Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth is getting a two-part manga adaptation. One part is going to be Persona 4, and the other is going to be based on Persona 3. The series based on Persona 3, called Side P3, will be making its debut in the March issue of Besatsu Shonen Magazine.
Nice. If you're having trouble getting your hands on a GameCube controller adapter for Wii U, you can get one from PlayAsia. This will also have a switch on the side that allows you to play it on PC if you're a Dolphin emulator. It'll only be $20, and it is available now.
Excellent. Fire Emblem is also getting a new manga series in Japan, as well as a new collectible card game.
Nice. You want an Ike card, don't you?
I sure do. The card game is going to feature various mangaka doing guest art for the series, as well as obviously using original art from the games. The manga features popular Japanese manga artists and writers such as Hako Itagaki-san, Ichiho Katsura, and Ryoko Kanzaki, alongside, you know, quite a few others. This is called the Fire Emblem Awakening Comic Anthology.
Nice. If you want to be a DOS boss, you can play 2,386 PC games in your browser for free. I've seen a lot of, like, I want to say non-gamers, and that sounds really, like, elitist of me, but, you know, people who I usually don't see posting about video games, like, being like, oh, I was playing Oregon Trail.
Well, what you didn't mention here is that these were put up by the Internet Archive.
Bless them.
And they are all old MS-DOS games. The Internet Archive has uploaded, like, an in-browser version of the DOSBox emulator. And, you know, it's just like you have a whole archive of these, you know, 2,000-plus games that you can play in-browser and, you know, sort of revisit some of the hits of yesteryear.
That's so awesome. If you want an authentic experience, get out your old 386 box, boot up Windows 3.1, and go at it.
Hey,
After
we're finished recording, do you want to see who we can give dysentery to?
Oh, cool.
Let's play Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail or Oregon Trail?
I meant Oregon, but you know. We also have word here from Monument Valley's developer Ooze2. Is that Us2?
I think it's Us2.
Us2, who revealed that only about 5% of the game's installs in the Android ecosystem are quote-unquote paid for. The other 95% of installs were either promotional releases or pirate copies. Us2 indicated that the number of legitimate installs among that 95% were a small number, that the vast majority was piracy.
That's really sad.
This is a big problem on the Android platform.
Quite a few
studios have said, you know, they love the Android marketplace, they love Android users, they just can't support it because it's apparently very hard to turn a profit there.
That sucks.
We also have word here that Forza Motorsport 6 is coming exclusively to the Xbox One. The announcement was actually made at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit.
Are still happening in Detroit?
The game was specifically announced as collaboration with Ford, whom featured the new Ford GT supercar in the Forza 6 advertisement.
I am Ford. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We also have news that...
Oh, this is big news. Biggest news of the year, arguably.
All PlayStation 4s will now be bundled with the digital version of The Last of Us Remastered.
You know, that got a game of the year, the original version.
Oh, God, can we not? In a really interesting move, Twitch has introduced a free-to-use music platform. Specifically for people who want to include music in their videos but don't want their videos to be pulled due to copyright issues.
Oh, so like basically pod-safe music for Twitch?
Well, exactly.
Twitch-safe music.
And it includes an archive of over 500 royalty-free songs that broadcasters can feature in both live and archived videos.
That's really cool.
And last but certainly not least, we have a tease here from Square Enix that during the Tokaigi 2015 festival, specifically during a stage show at 4:45 p.m. on January 31st, they will be announcing a new game.
You know, I already looked on your phone and saw that you had an alert set up for that.
I know that you didn't because I have my phone locked down tighter than a dolphin's blowhole.
Whoa.
But...
You do have an alert set, don't you?
But I do have an alert set.
What was that about dolphin trolls? And speaking of Nintendo, what a way to kick off their first Direct. I mean, you know, we've come to expect these beginning-of-the-year Directs now, highlighting the early-year release plans, but I, for one, think that this was one of the most exciting beginning-of-year Directs yet.
I agree. And, you know, that's really saying something. Let's dig right into this. You know, this It's probably going to go a lot faster than most of our discussions, because really, we're just going to recap what all three directs had to say, and, you know, talk a little bit about the ones that we have strong feelings about.
Yeah.
So the big announcement, obviously, was the fact that the direct
that The Last of Us Remastered is coming to PS4 bundles. I'm sorry.
The direct opened with the announcement of a new Fire Emblem game for 3DS.
Mm-hmm, it sure did.
I'm really excited. You know, something I noticed that had me really excited was I noticed that all of the characters in the trailer that they showed, the beautiful trailer,
yeah,
all had feet during the battle segments.
That's great news.
No more walking around fighting on stumps. But in seriousness, Iwata-san indicated that this game is going to have more, like, branching storylines, that there's going to be more interactivity with the storyline.
Hopefully,
a lot more character
gay
decisions.
Marriage. He didn't say gay marriage. I said hopefully gay marriage on
so
my behalf.
I'm really excited about this. Slaggy, what did you think?
No, I was really excited, and I guess, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I guess it's been a couple years since Awakening, so we're due for another Fire Emblem. And I anticipate it to be a big release, because Awakening, like, just was hugely popular. A bit of a surprise, but not so surprising.
Awakening was by far the biggest game in the series, and by all accounts, you know, this could be bigger. It looks really great. I was really impressed by what we saw.
Yeah.
You know, something else that was announced, of course, was a North American release for not just Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition, but also a domestic release for Puzzle & Dragons Z.
Yeah, that's like wanting to get a scoop of ice cream and then getting a free double scoop.
Of course, the reason why you phrase that is because these games are going to be bundled together as one release for North America. So we will be getting not only Puzzle & Dragons Z, which we have been lusting after here on Game
Right.
Boy for the Game last Boy. Year, but also the more recently announced Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition.
Which looks so cute.
And we won't have to wait long, as this package is set for release in North America in May.
So excited.
We also saw the announcement of a very similar style Match 3 game for Nintendo 3DS. This one is the free-to-play Pokemon Shuffle.
Yeah.
We also got word that Smash Bros. 3DS is going to be getting a patch to support Amiibo in February of 2015.
Yeah.
Once the new 3DS is out in all regions.
Makes sense. We got some great news about Wii titles downloadable from the Wii U eShop. The first one that is available now is Super Mario Galaxy 2. On the 22nd, which might be, you know, by the time you hear this, will be Punch-Out. And what I'm most excited for is January 29th, the release of Metroid Prime Trilogy. For the first week of each title's release, they will be on sale for $10. Which is half off of its release. So no more trying to, find these titles in a GameStop or something. I'm speaking about Metroid Prime Trilogy.
And, you know, something that's really exciting here is that for the North American Direct, Reggie?
Or Bill.
Or Bill Trident, whoever was the face of this Direct at that point, stated, you know, that there were more games to come under this promotion. Oh, that might have still been Iwata-san, actually.
Oh, maybe so, yeah.
But something that's really cool is that in Japan and Europe, at that point in their directs, they actually had title cards with additional titles listed by name.
Say what?
And some of the titles were good ones, like Pandora's Tower was one.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Kirby Return to Dreamland was one. In Japan, Regen Clev was one. So, you know, just some really weird, cool...
That's great news for
Pandora's
stuff. Tower, because that was another one that's hard to find still, right?
Well, I was just saying, yeah, some really cool left-of-center stuff that maybe isn't the easiest to find these days.
And maybe isn't on most people's radar, but most definitely should be.
Definitely should be. Let's see, we also got word that there is going to be a new line of Amiibo.
Yes!
So, and that actually, I guess I mean that in two different ways. The Smash Brothers Amiibo series is getting a new wave. That's going to include such characters as Ness, Charizard, Pac-Man, Lucina, Robin, and more. But we're also getting a whole new line of Amiibo. This is the Super Mario Amiibo series. It's going to include Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser, Donkey Kong, and Toad. and it's going to be releasing on March 20th in North America, alongside the first game that will be using the Super Mario line of amiibo, Mario Party 10.
Yes! Finally!
Right?
The cool thing is that...
really cool.
Go ahead.
Something really
We're
cool...
We're both excited about this.
...about these amiibo is that if you have any of those characters' amiibos already from the Smash Brothers line, they will be fully compatible with Mario Party 10.
As long as you're okay with it.
However,
due
to space limitations of NFC chips, that is near-field communication chips, you know what makes amiibo work, you'll only be able to store full game data for one game at a time. So if you're going to be playing Mario Party 10, you will have to delete the Smash data from your amiibo. And one assumes this is why they're doing a separate line of amiibo. So you can still have your Smash Mario and your Mario Party Mario. They have different sculpts. They are both high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can have, you know, data wherever you want. But you do have the freedom to just use your Smash amiibo if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I plan to get all of the Mario line amiibo. Because, you know, collecting the Smash amiibo in its entirety is just kind of an impossibility, so...
It's not an impossibility.
Well, I mean, for me at this point, with, like, two amiibo.
It's not an impossibility, but it is unlikely. If you really wanted to, you could make it happen.
There, yeah, but I also like get them. I also like having money to eat.
Well, bitch, I'm just saying. It's not an impossibility.
We also had an announcement of Kirby support with amiibo, where if you put that with Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. I almost said Kirby Canvas Curse. Different game. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse will feature amiibo support for Kirby, Meta Knight, and King Dedede. Each will have different abilities that will help you in your quest for treasure boxes.
We also got word that on March 20th, alongside the launch of the Super Mario amiibo line, Captain Toad will be getting a patch to enable amiibo support in that game. So if you have the Toad amiibo from the Super Mario line, loading up your Toad amiibo in Captain Toad will place new collectible items in each stage that are like little 8-bit graffiti toads that you have to collect.
It's so cute.
We also got word that Splatoon is going to be releasing in May.
Yeah, we got a look at the plaza where you can get different outfits and weapons and a, you know, a little bit more look at the gameplay. It looks really, really good.
We also got an announcement from Namco Bandai, who is going to be releasing a new game on Wii U, a free-to-play game. It's going to be a 4-player online co-op game called Project Treasure. Something really interesting here is that Harada-san, who you probably know as the man behind the Tekken series, he introduced it and he talked about it, but he couldn't identify any of the characters in the game,
right?
Nor could he identify the name of the game. Initially, a lot of people thought this might mean the game was just so freshly in development that they had nothing to show for it. But gamers, being, you know, the kind of people we are, have rewatched this trailer several times and have noticed that in the small graphics that flash on screen just momentarily, there are characters from other Namco Bandai games, including Cosmos from Xenosaga. So this may be a crossover game of some kind.
Like a Project Cross Zone sort of treasure.
Yeah, I mean, we
treasure
don't know.
Treasure Cross Zone.
He did indicate it was a 4-player action game that was going to involve, like, heavy cooperation in order to seize the treasure. So we don't really know what kind of game it's going to play like yet, but it does appear that it may well be a crossover game.
Lovely.
I know you're going to be excited about this next one, Slaggy, so why don't you take that?
Yeah, with the Majora's Mask release for 3DS coming soon, on February 5th there will be a Majora's Mask pack coming to Hyrule's Warrior.
Hyrule's Warrior.
Hyrule Ninja Warrior. Hyrule Warriors. You know, the Dynasty Warriors-inspired, Zelda-inspired game. You know what I'm talking about. The characters will be Young Link, who includes, you know, like a Young Link sword and a fierce Dedede mask, and our very own favorite Game Boy Zelda character, star of the exclusive spinoff podcast, Tingle. Might be time for Tinglecast 2.
Ah!
All I can say about that is Kululimpa.
In Japan at this point.
You can get on your Kululimpa with Impa. Hey.
In Japan at this point, we also got a release date for the revitalized Project Rodea the Sky Warrior. You may recall this was the game that was recently resurrected.
Yeah.
With much fanfare. It's going to be releasing finally in Japan on April 2nd for Wii U.
Oh, that's great news.
We also got word that Xenoblade Chronicles X in Japan is also going to be launching in that April window.
Oh, wow.
And the new trailer, which also screened in the North America Direct, indicated that it will be getting a 2015 release in North America.
Excited. Love it.
We also got an update on the new Mario vs. Donkey Kong game, this time giving it its full name of Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars.
Tipping Stars.
This is going to be an eShop game with cross-buy functionality, similar to what Sony does. You buy it on the Wii U or 3DS, and you will get it on the other console for no additional cost. It's going to be releasing exclusively digitally in North America, though it will be getting a retail release in other territories, on March 5th.
Yeah, and you'll be able to tip stars to friends' levels, or not even just friends, for levels that you like, so that they can buy new creation tools. It actually looks really cool.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from, Tipping Stars.
Tipping Stars.
You know, you'll collect stars while playing through levels, and you'll download new levels online, and if you play a level you really like, if it's a user-created level, you can give that person some of your stars as a thank you so that they can continue making levels.
Such a cool idea.
You know, between this and Mario Maker, I love this whole angle Nintendo is taking on, like, teaching people about level design.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see tipping coins in Mario Maker, but we'll see.
Indeed. We also got a slew of release window updates, including some on some indie games. In North America, we'll be seeing Elliot Quest on the Wii U on the eShop in February 2015.
Well, his quest was to help E.T. phone home, right?
We'll be getting Black on Wii U in February. We'll be getting Citizens of Earth on Wii U and 3DS on January 20th. We'll be getting Gunman Clive 2 on the 3DS before the end of the month. We'll be getting Moon Chronicles Episodes 2, 3, and 4 on 3DS sometime this month. We will be getting the new wave of Sega 3D Classics between January and March in periodic releases. That's going to include Afterburner, Fantasy Zone, Outrun, Fantasy Zone 2, and Thunderblade.
What about Fantasy Zone Puyo Puyo?
We're going to be getting Etrian Odyssey Etrian Mystery Dungeon this spring. We're going to be getting Story of Seasons, which is, of course, the legitimate continuation of the series you probably know as Harvest Moon, in March. And last, but not least for the North American stuff, we're also getting Fossil Fighters Frontier on March 20th. Woo-hoo. For the 3DS. In Japan, they had an additional advertisement for Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest, which is coming on March 26th.
Nice!
In Europe, they also announced the Nintendo Anime Channel. This is a 3DS app that you'll be able to get for free on the eShop.
Wow.
And watch your favorite episodes of Inazuma 11, Pokemon, and of the Kirby anime. We also got updates on codename Steam, including release dates for all three territories. Slag, you want to take this?
Yep. Launching first in the U.S. on March 13th, with a May 15th release in Europe and Japan.
Game looks great, and we also got the announcement of Fire Emblem characters that are imported into the game via your amiibo.
So if you want Ike to show off them arms, although what they showed of Ike didn't look like he had them arms in the game.
Unfortunately, yeah. And something that's, I mean, it's cool and also a little shady, when you scan your amiibo into the game, the Fire Emblem characters join your party permanently until they die.
Oh.
This was sold in the Direct as being a nod to the permadeath that Fire Emblem is so well known for. But let's be honest, this is just so you won't scan in your friends' amiibos and not buy them yourself.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
I'd like to read a version of American History where Ike saves the day. I guess I can do
that. Oh, and then he can kiss Abraham Lincoln.
Whoa.
Shut up.
No, I ship it.
We also got word that Atelier Rorona is going to be releasing on 3DS in Japan on March 26th. Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Edition is going to be releasing in Japan on April 29th.
Cute.
We also got an update on Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy Plus, which is going to be releasing in Europe in February, and specifically on February 13th in the U.S.
Yeah.
That is going to include the amiibo support that was added in the Japanese version.
If you want a Bowser plane, you got it.
Yep, you scan in your amiibo and you get a special painting of that character on your plane. We also got word that Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is going to be releasing in North America on February 13th. There is a demo up now that is specifically designed as like a tutorial slash intro to the Monster Hunter series. For those of you who have always been interested but have never gotten into it, right now might be the perfect time to get into Monster Hunter. The demo does include support for both online and local multiplayer play. I say get into it. And also, they added a puzzle in Puzzle Swap for street passing on your 3DS.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Explorers in Japan is getting new DLC, including a new class and boss fight. That is the Samurai class, and the new boss is called Omega.
Oh,
the Omega Samurai
weapon?
Class DLC is a free download. The Omega, well, which is just called Omega, but the picture certainly looks like an Omega weapon.
Oh, it sure does.
Is a 400 yen download. So think of it as like $3.80 or something.
Nice. Omega news.
We also got word that the Xenoblade Chronicles 3D port for new 3DS is going to be releasing in Japan on April 2nd. It's also going to be releasing in Europe on April 2nd, and generically in April for the US.
That must mean something for new 3DS.
Indeed. I think we'll probably be talking about that in about 3 minutes.
Everything is awesome in Japan on March 5th with LEGO City Undercover The Case Begins. I don't know why I had to interrupt you on that.
I'm glad you did, though. We also got word that the third game in the Style Savvy series is coming to Japan on 3DS.
Yes.
So that's something to look forward to.
I'm all about that base.
We also got the surprise announcement of an all-new game called Ironfall Invasion. This is a third-person shooter that has mechanics not entirely dissimilar to the multiplayer of Mass Effect 3.
Yes.
It is a six-player co-op game for 3DS locked at 60 frames a second with
240p resolution.
With support for the C-stick nub of the new 3DS.
Yeah.
So, does it sound like we're talking about a lot of new 3DS today?
There's a lot of new content for the 3DS, yes.
The reason for this is that
I was saying new content for the 3DS, and you're supposed to correct me. No, not new 3DS stuff. New Nintendo 3DS!
So as he says, the new Nintendo 3DS has finally gotten a North American release window.
Excuse me, the new Nintendo 3DS XL.
Alright, so, the new Nintendo 3DS XL is going to be releasing in North America on February 13th at a price point of $199.99. This has been a somewhat controversial piece of news for two reasons. The first, and honestly way less important piece of news, is that much like the way consoles have been being sold in Japan for years now, and I believe have been being sold in Europe for a little while as well now, this is the first Nintendo portable that in North America will not come with an AC adapter for charging the device.
But let's be real, a lot of us have like more than two 3DS.
Yeah, I myself have three chargers compatible already. You know, and I've seen people get very mad about this, and you know, you do you, I appreciate it. I'm going to ignore the fact that you can get them for $10 at GameStop, and just, you know, this is how Nintendo has done things for a long time, and it to me, it's minor at best. The bigger news is that for the North America region only, Nintendo is foregoing the original size recipe of new 3DS, and only releasing the new 3DS XL in North America at this time.
Nobody wants faceplates, I guess. Gotta make room for those amiibo on the shelves.
Now, there's been a lot of speculation here that the most likely outcome for why this is that Nintendo probably can't get stores to stock this product. Quite famously, in North America, the 2DS outsells the original recipe 3DS. People do not...
I don't even see original size 3DS anymore.
Yeah, stores don't stock them in North America. Like, strictly speaking, stores could still have them. It's just nobody sells them. Nobody wants them, so stores don't stock them.
I thought the original 3DS was good.
Yeah, I love mine. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people very, very angry about this and about how this product isn't being made available for them. I side with them for the most part because I think Nintendo should be doing something with their online store to support this product. But I really do think the most likely issue here is that stores don't want a product that they perceive as inferior.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not like Japan. You go to Japan, and every store has every item you could want, every phone you could want, in so many colors and designs and, mm-hmm. you know, limited editions up the wazoo. And in North America, retailers are typically a little more conservative, and especially with these electronics types, a lot of times, like, you'll see, like, oh, there's, like, a tan green variation of my stereo system, but I can only get it direct from the manufacturer because stores don't stock it. Like, you typically only see electronics...
You say tan green?
I did. I meant olive green, and I don't know why someone would want, like, an olive drab stereo, but...
Is there really an olive drab stereo?
In, like, the 70s.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
But...
Stereo buoy.
I'm just saying, like, you know, stores are different. In North America, it's a lot less focus on a wide variety of the same item and a lot more like, let's just have thousands of items in this one store. So I feel like I'm going off on a tangent, but my point is I don't think the marketplace in North America would support the regular size new 3DS.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an excuse for Nintendo not to offer it direct.
Or they even have like a GameStop exclusive, honestly.
Or even a GameStop exclusive. Even if it turned out to be like an online only from GameStop's website, that would still be better than the current situation. But you know, there is already several huge fan campaigns for, you know, writing letters, making phone calls, and trying to get Nintendo to reconsider. And, you know, I'm normally like LOL internet petition or whatever, but, you know, this is the company that was swayed by Operation Rainfall for mm-hmm. Xenoblade back in the day, so I'm going to keep an open mind, and I'm going to encourage our listeners, if you're passionate about the lack of classic-size new 3DS, send Nintendo a polite email and give them a polite call. Don't be a jerk, don't be rude, don't be unpleasant and ruin someone's day, just be like, hey, I want to give you my money for this product that exists. Let's find a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
So I strongly encourage you all if you have strong feelings about this. Anyway, the new XL itself is going to be releasing in a red variant, a black variant.
A new red and a new black. And eventually an orange is a new black.
That is not confirmed. He's making a joke, people. There's also going to be two limited edition releases on February 13th, the day that the new 3DS XL releases in North America.
Which are probably sold out.
The first is a Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate limited edition, which is the same as the Japanese one, the cool brushed metal one that we've talked about here on the show. It's so sexy. It's so funny because, you know, when this was first announced for Japan, I was like, oh, I should import one of those. Turns out I don't have to because I have already ordered one in North America. That's a GameStop exclusive. The other is celebrating Majora's Mask, which will be releasing in North America on February 13th as well. It is very cool. It is very similar in design to the gold limited edition 3DS that came out for, was it Ocarina of Time?
No, Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds.
This one has, like, Link in the middle and then the different
masks.
Masks, like the Deku mask, the Zora mask, the... Oh, no, it's a Majora's mask in the middle, duh.
Yep.
And then the other main mask, so the Goron mask, the Deku mask...
The Fierce Deity mask.
The Fierce Deity mask and the Zora mask, or I don't know. The masks that you wear to become the transformations in the best N64...
Goron, Zora, and Deku.
Yes.
So, that'll be releasing in Japan on February 14th.
I like being a Zora.
And last, but
I like being a Goron and Roin around.
And last, but certainly not least in this Direct, we ended the Japanese Direct with the surprise announcement of a new Rhythm Tengoku game.
Yay!
For 3DS. This game is going to feature 100 of the game's mini-games,
Wow.
With more than 20 of them being all new, and the others being like a best-of comp of every previous iteration of Rhythm Heaven.
That's great.
I'm really, really excited about that, and, you know...
Men's Chorus for Smash Brothers confirmed as DLC.
Hopefully... This comes to North America, you know, actually, though we didn't get the first game, we have gotten several of them. So, you know, I'm going to keep hoping, and worst case, I guess I'll have to import, but I hope it doesn't come to that. So let's talk about this Direct overall. Slaggy, what did you think?
I thought there were lots of great tidbits. I liked that it covered both consoles. You know, typically we seem to see something be like, oh, a 3DS Direct or a Wii U Direct. And I guess in a lot of ways this was 3DS heavy, but, you know,
new console in the family next month.
Yeah, but, I mean, we got a couple good Wii U tidbits. You know, we got that look at Splatoon, which was nice. We got a new trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles X. All the amiibo stuff, you know, very heavily centered on Wii U. I mean, this is just outlining...
Well, they announced that they've sold more than 2.5 million amiibo.
Ooh, girl.
So they are a bona fide hit, and
probably
I can't blame them for putting
Bill
some weight behind it.
Enough to put a pool in Bill Trinan's Seattle house.
You know where Bill Trinan lives?
Well, that's where they're based, right? Up in... Seattle area.
Oh, let's stop. You're being creepy.
I don't know where he lives.
So overall, you thought it was a good Direct? You were happy?
I did, yeah. And, you know, I'm just looking at the release calendar. I'm like, well, shit. You know, my my goal for 2015 was to try to diversify more with PlayStation and Xbox. But there's so many good upcoming releases this year. And not that all of them are surprises or anything, you know, but just kind of looking at them all in this set... And being like, oh, wow, there's Splatoon, there's Xenoblade Chronicles X, there's Hatsune Miku, Project Mirai DX, all the eShop titles, Puzzle & Dragon Super Mario Edition, Mario Party 10, and, you know, just, like, all of these things hitting that's like, well, snap. I mean, this just goes to show why I continue to be a passionate Nintendo fan. Another little tiny thing that I really liked is that, you know... They always make a point of mentioning, like, the developers and stuff. They're like, from developers, intelligent systems. Instead of just being like, oh, it's our new Project Steam. Project Steam, Project Steam, Nintendo, Nintendo. Like, they recognize the developers, and I feel like that's something
I loved,
that...
and I'm going to build on what you said. I loved that when they were talking about the Xenoblade Chronicles 3D port, they called out, you know, that the port was being handled by Monster Games. You're probably familiar with them from the... 3DS port of Donkey Kong Country Returns, you know, the early Wii Excite Bots, Excite Trucks games.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
but
basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've talked about this here
basically,
a lot on the show.
Basically, we would sell out for Nintendo and to become a Nintendo-only show, probably.
I would never. But, you know, I love Nintendo, and I love the fact that, you know, like we've talked about from the beginning... For Nintendo, these presentations are about the games, they're about the game designs. It's not just, oh, big explosions, here's some tits, we want to titillate
Whoa.
You. We want to titillate you, turn you on, and get you to buy our games. Like, Nintendo wants to tell you about what these games are like.
Yeah,
Nintendo
I
wants
agree.
To sell you on where these games are coming from and what they're trying to accomplish in their design.
And, you know, people just were like, Nintendo Direct. And then with E3, you know, they were like, oh. They're not doing a conference. But, I mean, really, Nintendo Direct has proven to be a really effective communication channel. And, I mean, I feel like Nintendo is the best at communicating. And we're starting to just see Sony and, I guess, to a lesser extent, Microsoft try to catch up with that.
Absolutely.
The Sony event that we kind of laughed at? The PlayStation Experience?
I can't
remember. PlayStation Nation.
Anyway, so your final verdict, positive on the Direct. How do you feel about the new 3DS?
I really want it. That was a given back when it was announced that, you know, that I mean, any Nintendo thing I'm going to get. But I am a little let down, but not surprised that they didn't decide to release the standard size here. I just really like that, you know, Famicom, Super Famicom, I guess, huh? Famicom? Super Famicom? I always thought of it as Super Famicom. Yeah, the Super Famicom color scheme.
I'm like, girl, the Famicom color scheme was, like, beige and red.
Yeah, that's right. But still, due to financial reasons, I'm going to hold off on it a bit. Just because, you know, it's not a brand new console, you know, and a lot of the stuff I'll still be able to play on one of my two 3DS XLs. You know, and that also will give me a chance to see, oh, maybe some hot new limited editions will come out, so.
And last question, overall, what was the big news for you? What were you most excited about?
Honestly, Puzzle and Dragon Super Mario and Puzzle and Dragon Z was a big one.
All right, so that was your big news for the...
That was one of the big ones. Mario Party 10, probably.
All right.
The new Amiibo line.
Excellent. You know, for me, I thought it was a great Direct.
Oh, and Fire Emblem, hello.
I'm obviously super on board with the new XL. And, you know, beside Fire Emblem, although Fire Emblem actually was my big news of the conference, I'm also really, really, really excited about what people are calling the Wii Virtual Console.
Right,
that is,
you
know, being able to buy these Wii games and have them on your Wii menu and launch them straight from the Wii menu, or Wii U menu, rather than having to go into Wii mode. You know, the gamepad can finally emulate the classic controller for games that support classic controller.
That's great news.
You know, getting Metroid Prime Trilogy for $10 is going to be amazing. And I'm really hoping that we get more titles so that some of the really amazing gems of the Wii that people missed out on might finally get a chance to shine.
Yeah, it's very exciting precedent being set. And so, you're still saying that even if we were able to say, live from the Nintendo Treehouse, this is Game Buoy! Today in the studio, we have some Treehouse cuties with us here to talk about Splatoon. You still wouldn't sell out.
I couldn't. Half of the joy of gaming for me is, you know, the variety.
I just wanted to talk about the Treehouse cuties. I'm trolling.
All right. Well, then
let's... But Nintendo, if you ever want us to do a spinoff of Game Buoy live from the Nintendo Treehouse.
Nintendo Buoy.
Tree Buoy.
All right.
All right.
Let's move on.
I'm thinking about those Treehouse boys now.
Rumor has it. So, you know, we talked already a little bit about the new songs coming to Rock Band. What we did not talk about is the new survey Harmonix has posted. Now, you know, we have talked previously about the fact that Harmonix from time to time does surveys about future projects. I even mentioned a little bit ago, you know, that we've talked about previous surveys. But the big deal with this survey is that it is very specifically and completely unabashedly about asking about a new Rock Band game. It asks what consoles you currently own. It wants you to rank, like, what features would be most important to you in a new Rock Band game. It even specifically asks how you would like to buy a new Rock Band game in 2015. So, no bones about it. Who knows if Rock Band 4 is going to happen, but it's definitely something they want to do and are really strongly thinking about.
It's going to be Rock Band 1 ONE for the X-Band 1. X-Band 1.
Hey, I would be on board. I have to say, honestly, there is no context in which I would not support a new Rock Band game. Period. I still play Rock Band every week, more or less.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely ready to jump on a new one. We also have word here from a pretty funny source. You know, we've been talking ever since the big shakeup with THQ, since Sega picked up the Warhammer license.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously everyone was sort of assuming we were going to end up at some point with Creative Assembly making a Warhammer game. Well, the recent art book that was put out by Creative Assembly covering the entire Total War series that, you know, is supposed to be coming out at the end of this month has leaked, you know, scans of it, and at the very end of the book, they call a new project in the Total War series Total War Warhammer.
Hammer of the Gods.
No, which they cite as taking the series to a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that this is, in fact, going to be a strategy game based on Warhammer. And, you know, I have to say, Creative Assembly makes great games. The Total War games are great. And I think they could put together a really awesome Warhammer game. So, rumor has it, that's going to be pretty awesome. And last but not least, according to EGM, there is a new Friday the 13th game in production. Interestingly, This is supposedly going to be an asymmetrically designed, co-op competitive multiplayer predator-prey horror experience.
Oh, my God.
Something along the lines of Evolve, you know, where you'll have four, you know, to however many players banding together as team camp counselors, and one person playing as Jason hunting them.
Oh, my God.
I am on board day one.
Right?
Now day we just need one.
We need a Freddy version.
Friday the 13th series creator Sean S. Cunningham actually talked to EGM about it, talked about how, you know, they have great ideas for the game, they're working on it, and apparently the game is going to be launching this October to coincide with the new film and the new television series.
Why is this a rumor then?
TV series, which is going to be airing on Netflix. The reason why this is a rumor is because no studio has been announced for it. No publisher has been announced for it. So while people that aren't involved in the production of video games are saying, oh yeah, this is happening, we have great ideas, strictly speaking, it's not an official announcement yet. Because, you know, we ain't the kind of show that's just going to be talking about, you know, game facts rumors. Like, this still constitutes a rumor by standards.
Good point.
With that having been said...
I was assuming that for the courtesy of our listeners. Just kidding.
With that having been said, it's time for our segment previously known as Smash.
You gotta get
Slaggy,
on...
Slaggy, if you'd like to take this...
we gotta get on a new title for that.
Yes, we do.
So, tonight's Smash that we want to highlight is a Nightline investigation on the online harassment that is plaguing women developers and gamers in the community. They interviewed such women in the industry as Brianna Wu of Giant Space Cat Games and Anita Sarkeesian from Feminist Frequency, as well as Tim Schafer from Double Fine. And, you know, he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was, you know, trying to find games that he and his daughter could play together that she could identify with. And, you know, that's really driven him for games like Broken Age to include more positive female representation. You know, it showed a online game of, what's that one, Counter-Strike?
Uh-huh.
Where a gamer was streaming her gameplay and, you know, showing that people were like, hey, babe, blah, 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 being, you know, super sexually harassing. And, you know, of course, this has already been very controversial on the intertubes and, you know, with the outcry of, oh, only showing one side of the story, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I think the fact that this is now on ABC Nightline, in addition to the New York Times, to BBC, I believe, did something with Brianna Wu, right? I believe they featured her a while back. You know, this is getting, like, international mainstream media coverage. So, you might have noticed I did not mention a certain hashtag, but you can do the math for yourself. It's definitely worth watching if you are, you know, following this, I don't want to say event, I guess event, this recent happening in the gaming community. So, good job, Nightline. I only sound like this because of the bad people out there. Boo.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, why don't we talk about what's going on?
I said, hey, what's going on?
Hey, 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 hey. I am Lord.
Lord, Lord, Lord. So, I have been playing Taiko no Tetsujin for 3DS. Specifically,
yay!
I've been playing Chibi Dragon. It's really cool. It came with styluses that were super adorable. One is pink and one is blue, or like one is orangish pink and one is blue.
Right.
They have little Bulm and Katsu
faces
on them. They're so cute.
Of course they are.
The track listing is great. And the game sounds great on my new Nintendo 3DS XL, which I imported from Japan.
Wait, what? I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah, I got it like 2 weeks ago.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, it's super sexy. I'll show it to you, but this is why I'm so enthusiastic about the new 3DS. The, like, 3D eye tracking stuff legitimately does work as advertised. It makes 3D playing, like, super easy.
Oh, that's right, you were talking about this.
Because, you know, I was have an issue playing with 3D on public transit. I just turn 3D off if I'm in public because it's not worth it. I don't have to do that anymore, which is really exciting. The C-Stick is really cool. It's a little weird, but it's cool. The screen really does look gorgeous. The controls feel great. The new buttons are slightly awkwardly placed. The RZ, LZ, or whatever. They're a little awkwardly placed, but they are reachable. I haven't done any of the Amiibo stuff with it yet, but overall, super excited. New system is great. Taiko is great. I've also been playing One Piece Super Grand Battle X, which has been amazing. It's, of course, like the heir to the throne of the Jump Superstars and Jump Ultimate Stars mm-hmm. series. And it takes that exact gameplay and just sort of freshens it up, developed by Gunbarian, just like those games were. If you are open to One Piece and you have an import 3DS, it's kind of a no-brainer if you liked Jump Ultimate Stars or Jump Superstars. And last but not least is that, you know, that I resubbed to Final Fantasy XIV during the last week of 2015. But
so, you time travel?
During the last week of 2014. but unfortunately, I haven't really played it yet because my PC's video card blew.
Womp womp.
I built a new computer this weekend, so I will be playing Final 14 this week. Just really excited to also be getting a little more serious about PC gaming.
Yeah, and you know, I watched you playing it in that 60fps, 60fps, 240p resolution.
F you.
I'm kidding.
Slaggy, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing, not at 60fps, World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor. I finally got my Death Knight to 100, so really excited. You know, she had, for those who are, you know, following the Warlords of Draenor gameplay, she had the Dwarven Bunker garrison building, and that, among other things, provides upgrades to quest rewards, and she had super good luck with them. Like, she just hit 100, and she's already, like, plenty of gear to go into looking for.
Isn't her item level like 621 already?
It's like 621. That's higher than my, that's the higher item level than my shaman has.
Yeah, when my main dinged level 100, she was item level like 604.
Yeah, and I'm like, 621.
That's great.
Got some crafted items, but like, got really lucky with quest upgrades. Just like, this is an item level 628 epic.
That's awesome, man. I'm super stoked for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to be looking forward to trying tanking out in the Looking for Raid, which should be pretty easy, and, you know, hopefully getting some heroics in, etc.
Excellent. All right, is there anything else you've been playing, or is it time to start the wrap-up?
That's really been the majority of it. You know, just work started to get a little busy again, so I just wanted, you know, something to unwind with at home, and getting my DK leveled was that.
All right, then, let's get down with the wrap-up.
So we have some social links to share with you. Now, if you know anything about GameBoo, you know that we effing love Twitter, which I'm about to say in another couple minutes.
We effing love Twitter.
And over on Twitter, we got a lot of nice tweets to end our year and begin 2015 with, starting with Your Enzyme, when we posted our Episode 70, 2014 Gaming Year in Review, and talked about, you know, that we were talking about our games of the year, Your Enzyme said, "It's The Last of Us Remastered, isn't it?"
Well done.
Right. Twitter user Edward Wong, 4, said, "Woo, trekking through another GameBooey.org podcast at work." Then the next day said, "Totally loving GameBooey.org. I basically think I listen to more podcasts than read comics or play games. LOL, great stuff. It's a tough choice, but I think Cutest Podcast is a toss-up between VG Realness, GameBooey.org, and Koopa Club." Then we got a
We are honored to even be considered.
Right? Happy Natto on Twitter said, "Why choose? The Bitch Squad may as well be a package deal." Edward Wong 4 said, 10,000% true.
You know, I have to say, I know Bitch Squad. I'm sticking with Hunty Bunch because it sounds cuter. Fuck it.
Yeah, same here, and it doesn't make, you know, the B word, but it's okay. It's okay. So I said in reply, Cutie Club and video game cuteness, and Edward Wong 4 said, what about game cuties? VG Realness said, this is all the cutest thing ever. We love you all. Love our hunty bunch. Thank you so much for the sweet words from Edward Wong 4. We also got another tweet from Your Enzyme saying, Bravely Default was great. Bought a 3DS for it, but am I the only one who thought it was hampered by the 3DS? What do you think, Spike?
I'm curious what he means by hampered.
Yeah, I mean, like, that it really would have shown even more on a, like, a console or something. I mean, I think that a portable game was perfect for it, especially with the kind of, like, Facebook Farmville sort of elements in it. Like, I thought it just was a really great way to present a JRPG on a handheld platform. I love my 3DS. But yeah, we'd be interested to hear more about what you think about Bravely Default. And, you know, we recognize that you said it was great, so yay! But, yeah, definitely hit us up with more of your thoughts on that, and we will definitely share our responses.
Yeah, I just have to say, you know, I play a lot of games on the go just because I have a big commute. You know, I've talked about that here on the show. So for me, Bravely Default as a portable game was perfect. You know, I didn't think it suffered in terms of, like, hardware, because I think, you know, the art style I still thought was pretty good. I didn't think it was ugly. I thought it sounded good. You know, so I didn't really feel like it would have been better if it were a Vita game or something. So I'm really curious what you mean by that. And, you know, I do have to say, as an aside, I do think it would be really cool if we saw a Big Brother console spinoff.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see the Bravely Default series.
I'd like, be totally down for Bravely Second to be a 3DS game and Bravely
Third
be a console game or something. I'd be fine with that, but for my, I had no problems with Bravely Default as it was. I thought it was great.
Especially since it's really a return to, you know, the classic JRPG for Square Enix, you know, that a lot of people possibly feel like was very much needed, with Final Fantasy continuing to go in a more, like, action RPG sort of direction. So, yeah, I think the 3DS was a great choice for it. Amiru69 said, another awesome day starts. Nice sunny day, catching up with podcasts, GameBooey.org today, and playing Agarest Generations of War on Steam. Velvet Cheshire said, you're lucky to have sun. Here's just cold and wind. And then Amiru69 said, as soon as I said that, the day got super cold. Hopefully we were able to keep you warm. Gamer Fox said, listen to these lovely gaming podcasts right now. Go! Heart, heart. And give us a hashtag FF, that's Follow Friday, not something else. Koopa Club, GameBooey.org, OLR, Horde House, VG Realness, Game Bar. What I love even more than love for GameBooey is love for the entire Hunty Bunch.
Me too.
Strooper1, or S-Trooper1, said, agreed, I've got to catch up. And last, but certainly not least, to end our tweets with a sweet note on Your Enzyme said, I need a GameBooey fix. Aww.
Well, here you got it. And, you know, I just want to say, someone had asked me why we haven't been doing questions of the week recently. I just want to say I'm still super interested in hearing what y'all have to say, and we definitely will be bringing that back. We've just been having sort of a weird scheduling issue for the last few weeks. We have not been recording necessarily at the same time that we typically prefer. But hopefully that'll be wrapped up, and in the future we will be coming back at you every, you know, Friday afternoon on a recording weekend with the question of the week.
You bet.
So please look forward to it.
But for now, hashtag GameBooey Extra. What did you think of the Nintendo Direct? What are you looking forward to from it? And speaking of GameBooey Extra, it's a good thing we checked that hashtag, because we got a GameBooey Extra from Edward Wong 4, saying, my game of the year is the same as most disappointing game of the year, Dragon Age Inquisition, hashtag GameBooey Extra. Note, I don't own a Wii U, with crying sad face. And I'm guessing that what you're saying, Edward Wong 4, is that, you know, like, I've heard a lot of people who played it, like, really enjoy it, but that, you know, overall, like, there are a lot of things that let them down. So hopefully the good parts were overshadowing the disappointing parts. And with that, we're just about at the end of our road, for this episode anyway.
All right, well, you know, we love your
feedback. We love your feedback. We like your iTunes subscriptions, rating, and reviews. Those of you who still choose to podcast Those of you who still choose to subscribe and listen to podcasts the old-fashioned way, we like your Facebook likes.
For those of you that don't, we are looking into, you know, Stitcher and all that.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely.
We hear you, and we're doing what we can.
We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
We really love when you tweet to us.
Tumblr's all right, too.
Tumblr's all right. We need to tumble more. And Google Plus, those of you who are firmly planted in the Google grounds, we always want to serve you there, so please feel free to plus one our content. You can email us at any time with mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. Whoa. Mailbuoy's getting a bit frantic there, but Mailbuoy loves getting your mail. It can be for anything, not just for a question of the week or, you know, hashtag GameBuoy Extra or for people in our backlog boat, you know, just if you want to say hi or you want to, like, talk to us about video games, you can always mail Mailbuoy, and Mailbuoy will make sure we get your mail. Mailbuoy. Now, time for shout-out Buoy.
First of all, I'd like to shout-out to Koopa Club. That's Koopa with the Q and Club with the K. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist.
They won an award from me about Give Me Pizza.
I'd also be remiss not to mention VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore.
For those of you who are looking forward to my appearance, that is now up on their feed, so please go check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I must mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues.
I thought you were talking about your best.
I also need to shout out to Nintendo Fun Club, Platformers, Positivity, and Pop Punk.
Perfect.
In non-video game podcasts, of course, I want to point you toward Slagkick's show, Reading is Fundamental, a look at RuPaul's Drag Race.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's uploaded weekly when the show is in season.
So,
and
yeah,
before every season, we do like an episode zero talking about what we're expecting from the current season. That show features myself, as well as Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness.
Yeah, start your engines, because season 7's coming at the end of this month. Yes,
I also
mama.
Want to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. As
even
well as
X-Nation
over at http://culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. And last, but certainly not least, Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy, why don't you take it to a game bar?
You can interrupt my shout-outs because I kept giving commentary during yours. Game Bar is the podcast that now officially is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion. That's their official byline now. So, you know, they fill your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. And just a wonderful show, part of the Hunty Bunch. I'd like to shout out to two fantastic shows on the Voice of Geeks Network. That's VogNetwork.com, where in addition to LLR, you can listen to Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a lady's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. And last but certainly not least, La Palanca Podcast, a podcast por y para gay gamers, Latino Americanos, en Español. Me gusta mucho. As ever and always, our wonderful theme music was done by the late great project known as Zelda Reorchestrated, which was the project that had the goal of reorchestrating beautiful Zelda music in wonderful symphonic sound. We will forever be pouring out a 40 out of a glass bottle for them, you know, like a fairy bottle. Man, do Zelda games have, like, fairy bottles full of, like,
Lon Lon milk, girl!
Ooh, Lon Lon milk, adult milkshake.
Alright, well, this once again brings us to the end of another lovely episode. Thank you so much, all of you out there in Internet Radio Land, for spending your Sunday evening with us. It is a sincere honor and pleasure to be in your ears. We'll be back at you in just another week, looking at some other stuff. But in the meantime, keep gaming, keep thinking, and
ai to iuna no moto ni.
What did you just say? What did you just say?
Louder.
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 What did you just say? Exterminate! GameMOE.org!
You ready?
Yes.
Say anything into your mic.
Triple triad.
Well, that wasn't the word anything, but...
Anything.
Perfect, perfect.
Episode 71.
What? Just Lord?
La la la, I am Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Resident Evil Revelations 2 is no longer going to be released on March 17th.
Oh, no.
Wait.
It's a week.
No, no, I...
Yeah. Oh, my God, news. Lordy, lord.
Are you ready?
Yes. So the fan translation of Makai Kingdom Portable, which was Phantom Kingdom, I guess... The fan translation... Sayonara Umihara Kawase has
been announced, because we haven't talked about it since it was announced. Fuck, what was the third game?
I don't know, I don't...
Well, why didn't you watch all three directs?
I don't speak European.
It's Kirby, of course it's Kirby!
We also got a tweet... Oops. We also got another tweet from Your Enzyme saying, Bravely Default was great, but...
Have a good night, folks.